Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Thank you so much for coming back with us here on Defined by Moments, especially as we are in the third installment of this series called The 30. You know, this is just a small part of the overarching Proverbs for Leaders that we've been doing, but just by way of review, Solomon has specifically told his son in what in our Bibles is chapters 22, 23, and 24, that he has recorded for him 30 wise sayings. You know, in the introduction, I shared that I've read Proverbs a lot of times, but I have never intentionally stopped to look at what these 30 wise sayings were until this series. So thank you for listening, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with you what God has been teaching me. But remember, Solomon tells his son that there are three things that he wants him to walk away with. This is to make sure that his path stays straight, but he wants him to listen to him, he wants him to learn from him, but most importantly, he wants him to live out the things that he is teaching him. So in Proverbs chapter 23, go down to verse 19. This is going to be the 15th saying that Solomon has recorded. So verses 19 through 21, Solomon says, "Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards, or among gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags." This sounds weird. It doesn't sound like something that we really should be digging into, but what Solomon is saying by way of summary is a lack of self-control leads to a lack of satisfaction. Now, that statement doesn't sound right, but it is. And that's what Solomon is hammering the point home here when he tells his son to be wise and to direct his heart in the way. This aspect of direction is being straight, to advance in a specific direction, to be level. So he's saying, make sure you choose wisely, and then he presents him an option of what is not wise. The drunkard and the gluttonous, those that overindulge, and then they pay a great cost at the end. It's when we have self-control that we gain satisfaction. Let me give you an example. My favorite donut in the entire world is a Krispy Kreme donut. If those things are hot, if that hot sign is on that store, for some reason my car just turns right into there. You know, I could eat an entire dozen at the drop of a hat, just the snap of my fingers, no problem. I could probably do two dozen because I love them that much, but I would pay a price later. Number one, I lose money. But number two, that would cause health issues for me down the road. So why I am overindulging, I'm not exercising self-control, and I think that I'm getting satisfaction, what actually happens is that I lose that satisfaction because there's a price down the road to be paid. So the 16th wise saying that Solomon has is recorded in verses 22 through 25. He says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, but he who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice." Three simple words. Wisdom is priceless. As you look at this passage, he is encouraging his son to listen to him. But he also talks about how a son that lives in wisdom would bring joy to his mom, would bring joy to the father. But then he hammers it home in verse 23 when he says, "Buy the truth, acquire it, hoard it, don't sell it." Then he says, "Buy wisdom, buy instruction, buy understanding." Why? So that you have it. That is the critical thing here. Wisdom is priceless. You pay a price for it, but the value that you earn from that wisdom is immeasurable. And that's what Solomon is hammering home here. He's using that point to shape his son. I have used that phrase, hammering home, multiple times in this episode. And it presents that image of a blacksmith who is forging a sword, who is forging a knife, or some other piece of metal. And it is hot, it is impressionable, and it is that hammer that is hitting it up against that anvil that is shaping it. And what Solomon is saying is, your mother and I, we are more wise, we are more experienced than you. So there's that aspect of correction, that hammer to shape you. Why? Because wisdom is priceless. It's when you go through that process and you come out on the other side and you've been polished and that edge has been sharpened that the value is seen. So number 17, we see in verses 26 and 27. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. For a prostitute is a deep pit, an adulteress is a narrow well. She lies in wait like a robber and increases the traitors among mankind. This one is important for us, and it is a greater principle than just this aspect of fidelity in marriage here. But unkept commitments always bring unexpected harm. Let me say that again, because this is important. Unkept commitments always bring unexpected harm. Now look at the latter part of verse 27. So he is combining the aspect of spending time with a prostitute rather than being at home with the one that you have committed to. And notice the imagery here is that adulteress, that's you taking that choice. You're not living a true commitment faithfully. What are you? You're like a narrow well. You don't bring refreshment. But the imagery here, going back into some of the original language, is if they have fallen. If you fall head first into a narrow well, what happens? You cannot turn around. You're stuck. You are in serious trouble. That is the image that is being presented here. The seriousness of unkept commitments. We have to keep in our minds, because people think, you know what, I just gave a promise, that's really no big deal. Actually, it is a big deal. But we don't value those commitments anymore. And because of that, Solomon is saying, you need to be different. But I want to make sure that you understand something. We've looked at wise saying number 15, 16, and 17, and every single one of them, Solomon is using language of family, where he says in verse 15, hear my son. Verse 22, listen to your father. Here again in verse 26, my son, give me your heart. So he is really laying out for him, listen to me. You're part of the family. Learn from us. Unkept commitments always bring unexpected harm. Why saying number 18 is really verses 29 through 35. Now, I'm not going to read all of them, but I do want to read verse 29, and then we'll skip down to the end. But verse 29 says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Then verse 30, those who tarry long over wine. The summary here is very simple. Drunkenness yields brokenness. You know, he is offering a Q&A. These questions of who has woe. I mean, you could make a list of many different people. You could say the foolish, the this, the that. But Solomon points to a very specific issue, and that issue is drunkenness. It kind of goes back to what we talked about at the beginning here, about that lack of self-control. But what Solomon is really getting to is in verse 32. He goes, in the end, it, the aspect of drunkenness, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Verse 35, they struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. In other words, you don't realize the damage that is being done, the breaking that is taking place as you surrender to something else, an intoxicant of some kind. Verse 33 says, where your eyes will see strange things and your heart utter perverse things. You've lost control. That's where the brokenness comes from with drunkenness. It's that loss of control. And you know, the part here that is important for us to understand is any sin. I'm not just going to talk about drunkenness. Any sin that you can think of, whether it's stealing, whether it's lying, there's always a bait that is put out there. And then when you bite, when you grab a hold of that bait and you swallow it, the burn comes later. You know, my father, before he became a Christian, was someone that would spend quite a bit of time with alcohol. And when he trusted Christ, he gave it up. Why? Because he saw the damage that it was doing to himself, doing to his family, doing to his friends. And that was a decision that he had to make. And he told me it was the wisest decision that he ever made. So that's something that is important for us to know and hear from. Because Solomon, the wisest man ever, is telling his son to avoid drunkenness. Wise saying number 19 is in chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. Solomon says, "Be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble." Simply put, we need to choose wise companions to continue in the right way. If we are envious of the things that evil men have, then we may think in our minds, hey, if I act like them, then I'm going to get what they have. Yet we don't see the sorrow, the pain, the guilt, the depression, often other things that are associated with always looking over your shoulder and wondering, am I about to get caught? We see the glitz and the glamour. We see what's glorified, but really we don't see the actuality. So Solomon is telling his son, you've got to be very careful who you choose to be around. I'm going to go back to that example that I used a bit ago about hammering home, where he is his father and his mother. They are shaping that son much like a bladesmith would be with an anvil and with a hammer. If you spend time with the wrong people, they will shape you to be more like them. Wise saying number 20 is in verses 3 and 4 here. Solomon says, "By wisdom the house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." The saying is very simple, that wisdom permeates all aspects of life. If you look at the first part of verse 3, by wisdom the house is built. This aspect of wisdom is the skill to act. The latter part, it references understanding. This is the intelligence to be. So I have the skill to do things, but I also have the mindset to be the right person. But then the first part of verse 4, this aspect of knowledge, is the perception to complete. So I have the skills, I have the knowledge, and then now I get to work. That's what Solomon is saying here, that wisdom should permeate all aspects of our life. This is functional. It is personal, and it's practical. That is one of the things that when we talk about wisdom so often, people will go, well, that's a philosophical thing. No, it's not. It is something that can be applied to our lives every single day if we make the choice to do so. And like we talked about in earlier wise sayings, if we refuse to apply wisdom to our lives, then what are we? We are a fool. Solomon does not want his son to be a fool. Statement number 21 is in verses 5 and 6. "A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory." Many trustworthy advisors is a key to success. You know, we often think that we are self-made individuals. I got here because of what I did, and you know what? I don't need anybody else. Let me tell you something. Every single person needs a coach. And if you've got people that follow you because you're their leader, if you want them to improve, then you need to be a coach. Because when we glean the perspective of many individuals, we get the value of that perspective. That different point of view can help shape a decision that we make. And that's what he is saying, but that a wise man is full of strength. Why is he full of strength? Because he is enhancing his strength. Where is he doing that from? Because he gains guidance. And where does that guidance come from? In the latter part of verse 6, the abundance of counselors. So it's that aspect of we need others to help us to improve, to grow. Proverbs 27:17, a verse that we will get to later on, says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens his friends. It's that aspect of being together where you get better. And that's what Solomon is hammering home here. And that phrase just came out, but there it is again. It's that imagery of being shaped, sometimes not in a very easy, soft, or pleasant way, but you are being shaped and molded into the form that God wants you. And then finally for tonight, wise saying number 22 is found in verse 7. Solomon simply puts that wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate, he does not open his mouth. So what does this have for us? A fool hides when seriousness arrives. There are individuals that you know that when tough times come, they disappear. When everything is going great, boy, they are there. They are the center of attention. But when it turns south, they're gone. When it gets bad, forget it. They're nowhere to be found. That is the aspect that is being talked about here. Fools, they reject wisdom. You know, in the past, they have done so, and because they've rejected it in the past, they have nothing to offer in the present when difficulty hits. They're known for speaking many words, but those words that are spoken really have no value. They have nothing that can be offered now because they have not invested their time to grow and develop in wisdom in the past. But we need to contrast this with the previous statement. So look at verse 7. Let's look at this one more time. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate, he does not open his mouth. Remember, the gate is this place where business takes place. It is the center of the city government, I guess you would say. It's the most important, prominent place. When a fool loves to be the center of attention, he says nothing there. Why? Back up to verse 6. For by wise guidance you wage war. Let's take that phrasing, wage war, and replace it. For by wise guidance you make decisions. And in the abundance of counselors there is success. The fool is not the one that is speaking because he has nothing to offer. So as we look at these compilation here of these eight sayings that we're looking at, and we're getting closer to that final 30, we need to make sure that we back up and just remember a couple of them. Number one, wisdom is priceless. Number two, wisdom is to permeate all aspects of our life. Why? Because it's factual, because it's personal, and quite frankly, it's optional. We see that here in this last verse, that the fool can choose to not be wise. But the one that I want to stick with you is, if you are truly wise, you won't have this problem. But if you are tempted to stray from wisdom, it's going to occur here. Unkept commitments always bring unexpected harm. When you start to fall, when you start to struggle in your life or as a leader, what typically happens is you'll make a commitment because you know that's the right thing to do, but then you won't keep it because that's the easy thing to do. The challenge to you that I would put is, once we finish this podcast, grab your Bible, go back to verse 19 and read through this section. No, I take that back. Go all the way back to the beginning where we started this series in Proverbs chapter 22, specifically verse 17, and read up through chapter 24 and verse 7, and circle every single time you see the word heart. Because wisdom, truly applied, is in the heart. And when wisdom is in the heart, it makes its way into your mind and the things that you think about, and then it will make its way outward to your hands. Everything that Solomon is teaching his son about these wise sayings It goes back to the heart. Why? Because wisdom is priceless, and because wisdom is to permeate all aspects of our life. Thank you for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.